We last week began a series on the book of Philippians through Elizabeth. This letter written by Paul to the Christians who lived in the city called Philippi. And so we're continuing looking at that letter today with a few verses, and they are the ones, Philippians 1, 12 to 18. And Grace is going to read them to us. That's good, Grace, if you want to come up. So just before Grace reads, just a reminder of Paul's context here. So Paul is under house arrest. He's basically in jail. He's got a guard with him 24 hours a day. He's always being watched and he can't leave the house. That's his situation. And yet, as you'll see as Grace reads, despite his circumstances, he writes, "I rejoice." So why is he rejoicing under those circumstances? Maybe he's heard that he's about to be pardoned. Maybe he's about to get out of jail. Well, we'll find out. Thanks, Grace.
Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter will do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice.
Thank you, Grace. Very well read. Okay, so why is he rejoicing in jail? Okay, Christ is preached. Look at how many times he says it there. Preach Christ, preach Christ. Christ is preached. And in the previous verses, talking about advancing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel without fear. That's why he's rejoicing. This is the most important thing to Paul. If you read about his life before, and then you saw how he met Jesus, or rather Jesus met him, and the change and the understanding that Jesus gave him about who he is, and it's what Jordan was reminding us about this morning, and as we were singing who Jesus is, Paul knows that. And now the biggest thing in Paul's life is that Jesus be proclaimed. So he's excited and very pleased that it's going on through other people. Something he mentions in the other passage that we had here, there were people preaching Jesus out in the community. And some of them were doing it with good motives, just that Jesus would be honoured and people would be saved. Others were preaching Christ, but for personal ambition. They wanted to make a bigger name for themselves, and they thought with Paul in jail, perhaps they could get a bigger following. So people can have different motives in why they are serving in ministry. And all of us who serve Jesus, and there are many people in this church who serve the Lord in different ways, we all need to keep a check on our motives in service. Why am I doing this? What am I trying to gain? The thing we need to gain, ambition is good in ministry. If it's an ambition that Jesus be honoured, if it's an ambition that his name be exalted and that people come to know him, and an ambition to serve with integrity, this is a great ambition in ministry. But Paul is condemning people who want to further themselves somehow. But he's still pleased because despite their mixed motives, they're preaching Jesus and people can still come to know him. All right, so how could an ordinary Christian share their faith regularly? That's what I was asked to talk about today. How can an ordinary Christian share their faith regularly? But first, I have a question. Why should we share our faith? Like, why bother? Why can't people just leave them to work things out for themselves and choose the religion they want? I sent a book once to a person that I had met, got to know him a little bit, and I sent a book about, it was a devotional book. He didn't know the Lord, and he sent the book back to me with a little note. And it said something like, when I was with you and your wife, I was impressed by the relationship that you had, but keep your religion to yourself. So he sent the book back. He didn't want to know about it. Many people get annoyed when we try to share our faith with them. Keep your religion. Don't try and convert people. Okay. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. A pearl of great price. And an expert in pearls finds a certain pearl and he says, I can't believe this. Is this real? I've never seen a pearl like this before. I want this pearl. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus told another parable about a man who was out in a field and he found a treasure in the field. And then he went back home and he sold everything he had. Every single thing he could lay his hands on, he sold everything he had to get money to go and buy that field so that he could get that treasure. And Jesus said, that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's how precious it is. So why should we share our faith with people? Well, when we share our faith in Jesus, we are offering people a treasure more precious they can ever imagine. They do not see how precious this is until they enter the kingdom of God, and then they realize, wow, I didn't know it was like this. And when that's happened to you, the main thing you want to do is let other people know. That's what you want to do. So how can an ordinary Christian share their faith regularly? As I thought about this, I thought it's helpful to think of the people in our lives in two broad groups. One group we could say are longer term friendships, longer term relationships, family, friends, workmates, neighbours, could be members of a club that you are part of for, you know, a year, two, three, four, 10 years. People that you see a bit of for over a long period of time. Maybe it's just the person at the corner store from you. You often go there and you buy things. You see that person on a regular basis over a long period of time. That is a longer term relationship. But there are other relationships. We could call them short term or one off. People you may see for a short time, maybe even just maybe a few hours, but maybe it's a few weeks for one reason or another, and then you don't see them anymore. So if we think of these two groups of people, and we all have them in our lives, everyone has got relationships in these two categories. If we think about them, how do we share with them? Books have been written on this. Seminars, training, there are all kinds of resources available. And it's quite complex. It depends on the context you're in. The culture, the religion, all kinds of things influence this. So what I want to do this morning is share some general principles and some practical suggestions that would work for most of us. In fact, I think they work for all of us if we think of them in our own context. How would that look for me? Not how does somebody else do that, but how would that look for me according to my personality and the relationships I have with certain people? How would I do this? So, some general principles. A few weeks ago, we had a guest speaker from Uzbekistan, I think it was, and he talked about the time when Jesus was walking along the road and he met up with two of his disciples. This was after Jesus rose from the dead, and they were so confused. What happened to Jesus? So they're walking along the road. Jesus meets up with them and walks along with them. Jesus initiated a conversation with them, which led to him revealing himself. And another time, Jesus sat down by a well, and there was a woman who came to that well to draw water. Jesus initiated a conversation with that woman. And over the conversation, he revealed himself to her. So there are a couple, two or three things I just want to draw our attention to in these accounts. One is that, okay, we got a mix up there. How can you help me out there, Jason? Now, that, well, they were meant to be, you're going to see it all. You were meant to have them one at a time. Okay, it doesn't matter. These are all the things I want to talk about, so you can see where we're going. All right, the first thing there, be intentional. Jesus was intentional in connecting with people. He moved among the people. He ate in their homes. He had conversations with them. That was intentional. It didn't just happen to him. He went out to them. So, if we are going to share our faith with people, and that's the question I was asked to talk about today, how do ordinary Christians share their faith regularly? If we're going to do that, it means we actually have to have contact with people. Okay? Otherwise, it's not going to happen. The second thing there about being intentional is Jesus initiated the conversation so that he could talk about himself. He initiated that, and he directed the conversation intentionally to himself because that's what people needed to know about. All kinds of things he could talk about, but they needed to know about him. We had a guy come and build a fence for us. And overall, he was there for, I think, 1 or 2 weeks. And we spent probably 2 or 3 hours with him, all in all, maybe a bit more, talking about the fence and so on, and including when he finished and he came to our house and we paid him, and we invited him in for coffee. Now, why? Well, we invited him in to pay him, but I wanted to invite him in also so that we could talk. Because since I've known Jesus, that's just on my mind. If I'm with people, I'm just aware that they don't know Jesus. And this just comes out of me. I need to do something to help that person know him. So the fence builder came into our home. We had the coffee. We talked about all kinds of things. And we got along well. And then as he was leaving, I went out with him to his van. And I said, it was good to talk. Thanks for building the fence for us. Would you mind if I shared something with you that's really important to me? And of course, people wonder what you're going to say. And he said, oh, that's all right. And so I told him that when I was younger and growing up into manhood, my life just became more messy as the years went by, and I became disillusioned. I just felt like I didn't fit in to life, and I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't change myself. And then the time came, and people were telling me about Jesus, but I didn't want to know. But then the day came where I actually decided I need to see if Jesus is real. And I really want to know him, if he is real. So I prayed and and gave my life to Jesus. And I really changed. I was able to give away some bad habits I had, and I was a different person. So I just, in a bit like 1 or 2 minutes, I just shared basically that same thing with the man who built our fence. And you don't know what reaction people are going to give you, but he had a smile on his face. And he put his hand into his pocket and he pulled out a cross. And he said, I take this with me everywhere. Now, he didn't actually know Jesus, but he knew about him. And so we could just talk for a little while about knowing him personally. And then we said bye-bye, he went on his way. Okay, at that time he didn't become a Christian, and I don't know if he has now. But you know what? I was a link in a chain. And that's really what sharing our faith is. It's being a link in a chain of people that God is using to draw someone to himself. It's really important for us to remember that we don't have the responsibility to make people believe. No. We have a responsibility to share our faith. That they come to know him is something only he can do. And that takes a burden off of it. I don't have to convert this person. No, it's out of my hands. But God is at work. And Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Father who sent Jesus is drawing people to himself. He's the one doing that. He's a missionary God. That's why anyone else is a missionary. It's because God is first, the missionary God. And then he calls people to join him in that. It can be in other countries, but it's also right here in our neighbourhood. Okay, so being intentional. Connecting with people when you could otherwise just not bother. Talking about Jesus when you could otherwise just not bother. It's about being intentional. But I know that a lot of us struggle with that. We just don't feel that we know what to say, or we're just scared to share our faith or to talk about faith issues. That's very common. But there are other ways to communicate our faith without actually opening our mouths and saying those words. One of the people that influenced me way back when I was about 17, I just started a nursing, a student nurse, and one of my colleagues was another guy, and he was a Christian, and he was a really nice person. I really liked him. We got to know each other, and we did a road trip once. Now, as far as I remember, he never talked to me about Jesus. He was really shy. But as we travelled along the road, he put on some Christian music. Larry Norman. Who knows Larry Norman? Okay. Yeah, Larry Norman. And I said, I like this music. I liked it. It connected. I liked the music, and I was listening to the lyrics. So Graham was his name. He didn't have the kind of courage to actually start talking about Jesus, and there's different reasons for that. Maybe he's really bold now, I don't know. But at that time, he couldn't do it. But he did what he could. He put on some Christian music, and that was quite appropriate to the situation, and it was something he was able to do. Another couple of examples about that we can express our faith, because that's what we're still on. How do we be intentional about expressing our faith if we really don't feel like we can speak to the person? He played music. I gave another book to another friend. Remember, the first person I sent it to sent it back. I don't want to know about this. I gave a book to a friend, and she said, she looked at the name of the book, the title, it was called Delighted in God. And it was the biography of George Mueller, called The Man of Faith. It's his story, and it's called Delighted in God. So she said, well, because of the title, I'll read it. She wasn't interested in Christianity, but she was interested in God. Little did she know that to find God, you need to come through Jesus. She didn't know that. But that was something I could do without actually speaking the gospel for someone, give a book. I sent a YouTube clip to one of my sisters who loves Elvis Presley. And he's got a whole host of gospel songs. And I sent her a YouTube clip of Elvis Presley singing The Old Rugged Cross. I wasn't speaking the gospel to her, but I was doing something that I thought would interest her and that was appropriate for our relationship. Okay, another person, another nurse. I was a nurse for 13 years, and that was the time I didn't know Jesus. So the people who influenced me were largely from that context. So this was a young woman, again, a really good person, nice nature. So a group of us hospital staff were having a party. And so we were drinking and partying, and she was there with us. She was joining in. Remember, being intentional about connecting with people? So she was there. And I said to her at one point, I noticed she wasn't drinking. And I said, I probably said, why don't you have a drink? But translated, it means, why don't you have a drink? And I remember what she said. She said, the Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Now, that might sound kind of confrontational or judgmental, but she wasn't like that at all. The way we say things makes a big difference. She wasn't saying to me, you shouldn't drink. She was saying why she didn't drink. And that's what a personal testimony is. You're talking about yourself without the intention of putting any judgment on other people for what they believe or the way they live. So she was sharing this. And I remember when she said that, don't get drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit, I thought, does that mean if you know God, like you have a good feeling, like it feels good to know God? I remember thinking that. So that was appealing to me. So the point here is she was ready to speak when the opportunity came. She was aware and wanting to share, and here's an opportunity. So she took it. We need to be prepared. The next one, be prepared mentally for those opportunities. And this is what the Apostle Peter wrote. He said, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Be prepared. Be on the lookout and ready to speak if it's appropriate. It's not always appropriate. Okay. So part of being prepared is the next bit. Being able to tell your story. When the fence builder came to our place, I was prepared in the sense that I wanted to share with him, and I was prepared in the sense that I kind of knew what I wanted to say. It's really helpful if we know what we want to say. It's really helpful if we can tell our story of how we came to know Jesus, or how Jesus became real to us, or what Jesus means to us now. It's really helpful if we know how to express that in just 1 or 2 minutes. That's part of being prepared. And I suggest to you, if you can't save your story in 1 or 2 minutes so that it can just become part of a conversation you're having with someone, I really recommend that you do that. Practice it. It's helpful for us to know, okay, who is Jesus to me? How did I come? What difference does he make in my life now? That's good for us to know ourselves. Okay, the next thing, getting back to Jesus and on the road to Emmaus and with the woman at the well. Where did Jesus take those conversations? Anyone recall? I already told you, but anyone recall? To himself. Jesus took those conversations to himself. And that should be our goal when we are sharing our faith. Take the conversation to Jesus. Talk about him. There are all kinds of things people might want to talk about, and we need to be able to have intelligent, civil conversations with people about different things, but we need to bring the topic back to Jesus, because that's really what they need to know. Okay, moving on to another one. A disciple's character proclaims Jesus. Can anyone guess why I wrote a disciple's character proclaims Jesus instead of a Christian's character proclaims Jesus? I put that word in on purpose. Who wants to guess? Thank you, Ali. Absolutely. There are, what, over 1 billion Christians in the world? At least that's what they would say they were. But Jesus wants us to be disciples of him. He wants us to be like apprentices to him, learning how to live in the school of life. It's really an intentional relationship with him, and if we have that kind of relationship with him, we will change. We will become more and more the kind of people that reflect his nature. And when we reflect his nature, then we are speaking the gospel without words. Without words, we are speaking the gospel. And this is another thing to keep in mind when we feel like, well, I just really struggle to share my faith. We need to know that if we are following Jesus seriously, learning from him in the word, we're praying, we're trying to obey him. If that's how we are following him, then our lives are speaking. They're going to be different to the lives of the average person in the community in some ways. We, as Jordan said, we lived in Asia. And for part of that time, we lived in a guest house. There were, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 expats, people from other countries living in this guest house at that time, and nearly all of us were missionaries. There were some there from other countries who were not Christians, and they really were hostile about Christians. And one of them went to the local manager of this guest house one time, and he said to him, he was hoping to cause trouble for us, a group of missionaries. And he said to the manager, you know, those people are Christians. They're trying to convert the local people. That they go out and they try and tell them about Jesus. Well, the manager of the guest house, he would have actually been obligated to clamp down on any of that Christian behavior that he would have known about. He would have been expected to do that, maybe even report us to the police, because it was illegal for us to do that. But instead, when this man said, they're trying to convert people, they're Christians, and the manager said, yes, and they also pay their rent on time, and they also don't have drunken parties late into the night. He could see the character and behaviour of the Christians, and he defended us Because he could see that that was good. Maybe one person shared the gospel with that manager, but he was receiving the gospel from all of us by the way we lived. We need to be true disciples of Jesus who follow him and are changed by him. Okay, moving down to the next one. Do it with others. Share your faith with other people. Jesus sent his disciples off in twos, not alone. We don't need to think, I have to be able to share my faith by myself. I mean, that's great if you can, but you might not feel like that. Jesus sent his disciples two by two, and the Apostle Paul, when he wasn't in jail and was out preaching the gospel, he was with other people. He did it in groups. So this is about sharing that responsibility with others. And there are things happening in our church like that. So we've already mentioned Chupper. Once a month, some of the older members of the church get together and they invite anyone who wants to come for a great afternoon tea, and they have a speaker. A lot of that builds up believers, but their hope is that people who don't know Jesus are going to come too. And because they're doing it together and not on their own, it's a lot easier to make Jesus known to others. Pete and Jen, they run the youth group, and they work as a team, and they're looking for others to join them. And last Sunday, Jared talked about an outreach in Hobart. Yeah? So there's a group of believers in Hobart who are getting together to do an outreach. Doing it with others takes a lot of the burden away. There's a support there. And so if you want to join something, then talk to Jared. How can I be part of that outreach that's going on? Okay, and lastly, listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Obey that. Throughout the Bible, we read how God prompted people. This is right through the Old Testament and right in throughout the New. God prompted his people to go and say something to someone else or to do something. God is prompting people throughout the Word. And he does that today. He still does that. And there are a few examples I can share, but I'll just share one. When I came to Hobart, I rented a flat under a house in Sandy Bay. Now, I became a Christian during that time. And I used to see the landlady from time to time, and I didn't really know how to share my faith at that point, but I used to turn my Christian music up really loud so that, you know, maybe she could hear it. I don't think some of those things are really good ideas in retrospect, but, you know, it's the desire that's there. But then about 30 years later, this is going back maybe 10 years ago or so, I just had this sudden urge that I need to go and tell that landlady about Jesus. Haven't seen her for 30 years. Where did that come from? Just suddenly go and tell that landlady. Well, I went to the house and I knocked on the door. I didn't even know if she was still there, but the door opened and I recognized her. Both of us were a lot older. But I was expecting to see someone and I recognized her. Now, she wasn't expecting to see me and she didn't recognize me. That was okay. I said, "Do you remember me? I lived here, you know, a long, long time ago under your house." And she said, "Oh, yeah, that's right." So she recalled who I was. And I can't remember what I said, but it was in a kind of a stumbling way. But let me just say, if God has prompted us to do something, it doesn't matter whether we are doing it in a stumbling way or really articulately. The point is, we're there where God wanted us, and he's the one that's going to speak. Getting all the words right doesn't matter. He's the one that speaks. So I can't remember what I said, but I do remember that I told her my story in 1 or 2 minutes. And again, you don't know what reaction you're going to get from people. But she said, "Well, my son recently became a Christian and he's been telling me about Jesus." I said, "Wow, God, thank you." Now, I didn't do that in front of her, but that's what I'm thinking. Lord, thank you. God is using her son in her life. And now he brings someone who lived in this flat 30 years earlier to her to say, "I believe in Jesus." So when I left and she'll close the door, I can imagine her thinking, "That's really weird." And then maybe later on that day, next time she sees her son, she'll say, "You'll never guess what happened today." So her son would have been delighted to know that God was bringing other people to his mother. We are a link in a chain of people. Sometimes you get to be the last link, but usually not. And it doesn't matter. But we can hopefully apply some of these things according to our own personality, according to our own circumstances and relationships. We can apply some of those. Now, I would like to just take a minute for you to think about a question, because this is what we are offering people, a pearl of great price. Life in the kingdom of God. I'd like us to just have a minute quietness to think about the people in our lives. First question: do they know that we are Christians? Do they know that you are a follower of Jesus? That's the first question. People that you're mixing with now, and long-term relationships and shorter-term ones, and then think about this next thing. Is there some way that I could share my faith with them? Communicate my faith, a book, a song, a coffee, to just share with them something that's really important to me? Is there something you can do? Let's just have a minute of quietness to think about that. Lord God, we thank you that you are the one who is drawing people to Jesus. And we know that this precious gift that we have received, not because we were good enough to have it, but because we saw that Jesus was good enough and he took our place when he died. And through our faith in him, we receive eternal life. Father, thank you that you've given us that, and we pray that you will help us to see, how can I communicate this somehow to people in my circles who don't know you yet? Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.